round with wide-eyed expressions similar to his own. He looked at Randolphus. You've been in a dungeon before. Is this kind of thing, he motioned to the forest of opaque crystal pillars, normal?
No,
the Chamberlain replied, slowly looking around. This is something new.
So what do we do?
Sion asked softly. The size of the cavern was so great, the sprite whispered by instinct, unwilling to break the feeling of stillness around them.
We scout,
Richter replied, turning his attention to Alma.
Be careful, my love, he thought to his familiar.
Always, master,
she thought back. The tone of excitement and bloodlust came through clearly in the mental message, belying her words. Alma could be as gentle as a kitten when playing with the pixies and the village children, but there was no denying what she truly was, a predator. As she flew off, Richter began to summon mistlights. He could only summon one a minute, but the glowing spheres lasted a year. He could also make them appear more than 100 yards away. The lights slowly pushed back the gloom around them. Richter could have cast dark vision, of course, but that wouldn't help his companions. If the dungeon was as dangerous as he thought it was, they might need to see clearly in short order. The longevity of the lights should also help on future dungeon dives. The process would have been faster if Richter had brought Futin, but the remnant had almost no way to defend himself. The glowing orb had almost been destroyed by an undead knight the last time Richter had brought it along. Everything had worked out in the end, and the knight even served one of his villagers now, but it was a wake-up call. The remnant was one of only 3 creatures that could control his village's settlement spells, the other 2 being Alma and himself. He wouldn't risk Futin in combat again unless he was in dire need. While Richter created the mistlights, Sion stood nearby with an arrow knocked to his bowstring, Sapir floating above him. The pixie wanted to go explore the room as well, but a sharp word from the sprite in pixie speak kept him close by instead. Tirad stood with his high steel sword out and his shield held at the ready. Richter absently realized that his captain needed an upgrade to his gear and resolved to do something about that soon. Randolphus stood nearby, eyes scanning the darkness. He looked relaxed, but it was the ease of a hunting cat, ready to pounce at a moment's notice. Richter had no doubt the spy could let his enchanted daggers fly in an instant. Alma flew up to the roof of the chamber, which was actually about 80 yards above where Richter and his companion stood. Not an infinite expanse, but definitely high enough to allow large predators to hide unseen. The columns merged seamlessly into the ceiling, just as they did on the ground. The chamber was ringed by the dark red pillars, and from what Richter could gauge, it was about 1/4 mile across. A few tunnels snaked out of the room at regular intervals, appearing to lead deeper into the dungeon. Each had a closed door, blocking further sight. The dragonling summoned mistlights periodically and affixed them to the ceiling and the columns. Each time she flew around the chamber, she moved closer to the center in concentric circles, thoroughly mapping the room. By the time she had made her 3rd lap, mistlights twinkled on the ceiling like solitary stars. On her 5th lap, she crossed out of the forest of blood-red pillars. Her flight confirmed what Richter had seen. Columns circled the entire chamber they were in except for 1 corridor to the right of his position. There was a clear path leading from the center of the cavern to a 50-foot-tall archway set into the side of the room. This doorway was all red stone, but where there should have been empty space in the middle, there was a solid wall of brown rock. It looked more like a picture of a door than a doorway itself. Richter couldn't see the reason for it. The archway couldn't keep his attention, though, compared to what was occupying the center of the chamber. A large crystal floated 30 feet in the air. It was blood red as well, but unlike the columns, it was lit with a bright inner light. It hung suspended like a chandelier over a central clearing. The red luminescence Richter had seen after crossing through the portal came from this gem. Near the center of the chamber, the light was as bright as the noonday sun. The gem was 10 feet tall and 5 feet wide. Richter recognized the shape immediately. It was a magnified version of the Bloodstone. Richter flinched instinctually and searched his mind. He had bonded on a deep level with the powerful item.
Each connection he had made, his psi bond with Alma, the link he had had with the shale adder, and the bond to the bloodstone, occupied a particular portion of his psyche. To him, they appeared as lights of various intensities. Alma's blazed like the sun. The shale adders had been like a torch, and the bloodstone had been more like a doorway allowing Richter to be dominated. That connection had disappeared when the stone became the dungeon's item of power. He exhaled a sigh of relief at seeing it was still gone. The floating gem might have been the same shape as the bloodstone, but the size was completely different. The bloodstone had been the size of a bowling ball, completely belying the massive power it contained. The crystal Alma was looking at was hundreds of times larger. For a moment, Richter was afraid that size might match power, but thankfully, all it seemed to be doing was emitting light. Once Richter was reasonably sure that he wouldn't be possessed again, he turned his attention to what was below the floating gem. Alma flew in slow circles over a herd of monsters. There were almost 40 of them. They looked like pigs milling around in the grass, but these were no simple porkers. Large tusks of jagged bone protruded up from their mouths. More sharp spikes of bone stuck out from their backs and sides. It was easy for Richter to see how a herd of these monsters running past could rend you to shreds. He pulled out his traveler's map so everyone else could see what Alma was sending him. Sion immediately identified the creatures.
Koran Tuskers.
There was no hate in the sprite's voice, but there was a hint of grim realization. Everyone looked at the sprite, and he continued quietly.
They are territorial and aggressive. They can eat grass, but they will also run down animals and beasts. They are usually easy to avoid because they make a horrible racket when they pass through the forest. Tuskers are fast, though, he cautioned, and those bone spikes are not for show. They can pierce armor.
Sion looked again at the map that showed a live feed from Alma's perspective and added,
These look a bit bigger than the ones I've seen before.
Richter nodded and continued to look at the map while he formulated a plan. The monsters outnumbered them almost 10-1. A frontal attack would obviously be a mistake. If all the Tuskers surged towards his group, they could be overwhelmed. The four companions were well equipped, and none of them were low level, but in the land, anything could happen. Even a level 1 creature could be deadly, and Richter had no idea what level these creatures were. The only way he could know that would be to use his analyze skill, and he needed line of sight for that. Seeing through Alma's eyes gave an incredible advantage in battle, but she couldn't use his skills. His ability to take a scout position from his warleader skill could have given more information, but it didn't work in the dungeon. As Randy had said several times, dungeons are for adventure, not war. He ordered her to keep circling while he discussed tactics with his companions.
I say we draw them to us, Richter proposed. Alma can cast some spells to make them scatter, then herd a few at a time towards us. If we're prepared, it shouldn't be too hard to take them out.
No one else seemed to have a problem with the idea, so they got ready. Sion cast weak haste on himself and knocked a sprite arrow to his bow. Tirad readied his sword and hefted his shield. Randolphus just leaned against a pillar and honestly looked a bit bored. Richter began his own preparations. First, he loaded his ring of spell storage. It let him prepare any novice-ranked spell of the basic elements for an immediate casting later. At this point, he had a large amount of options available to choose from, but he went with an oldie but a goodie. Words of power fell from his lips, and a green glow surrounded his hand. Rather than cast the spell, he focused on his ring, and soon a prompt appeared. You have loaded your ring of spell storage with weak sonic wail. This spell will be accessible for instant cast for the next 24 hours. It wasn't his strongest spell, but if a mass of the Tuskers rushed him, the auditory attack should disorient them. With any luck, they might even run into one another and cause some damage. Next, he summoned his strongest creature. Moving both hands this time, he dual-cast Summon Minor Chokespore Arachnid. More words of power issued into the air. The level 10 spell was noticeably more difficult to cast, but it was still well within his capabilities.
His high affinity and mental training with Alma gave him a spell control that belied his meager skill level of 11 in earth magic. The spell wasn't cheap. The base cost of 117 mana was magnified almost 3.5 times since he chose to dual cast the spell. The loss of over 400 MPs all at once gave him a splitting headache. He powered through the final syllables of the 4-second cast nonetheless, and was rewarded by a green disc appearing in the air. The pain in his head faded to a dull ache. The summoning was meant to call forth a level 12 spider. Between his dual technique and his summoner's ring, a rare item, a level 21 arachnid came through the portal instead. For the next quarter hour, the creature would be bound to his will. Richter made eye contact with it, establishing a weak psychic connection. Then he took a deep breath, preparing to cast a spell for the first time. He'd been both anxious and excited to use his higher energy spell. Richter had learned the lesson that magic was not a toy and could have serious consequences. He couldn't know what would happen until he nutted up and did it, though. So without further delay, he used the magic that was his race's namesake for the very first time. Akaton evolution required both hands to cast. Gray light surrounded his hands as arcane words fell from his lips. His pupils widened, and his heart began to thud rapidly as the power gathered inside of him. His teeth bared, and he became aware of every hair follicle on his body. The magic continued to build. Richter hadn't known what to expect. Using basic element magic barely had a noticeable effect on him. Deeper magics had more insidious consequences, temporarily unbalancing his personality in sometimes dangerous ways. Blood magic could make him a slave to his emotions. Spirit magic could fill him with a giddy high. It made him feel as invincible as a fool on PCP and left him with the same hunger to use it again. This time, he needn't have worried. As the chaotic magic began to fill him, he knew a peace that he'd seldom known before. This was his birthright. Roiling tendrils of gray energy built on his hands. They danced and flowed across his skin until the power concentrated on the tips of both index fingers. Twin beams of chaos magic left his hands, condensing into one ray of higher energy before striking his summoned spider. It outlined the arachnid in gray energy before disappearing completely. "What?" Sion began, but he cut his question off because a moment later, the spider began to change. The tips of its legs grew sharper and its body narrowed, looking sleeker. Fangs grew longer and adopted a poisonous green color. Its eyes grew so large they merged into one long band across its face. Even more interesting, the thousands of facets that comprised its cycloptic eye grew bright and shining like countless emeralds, sapphires, rubies, and diamonds fused together. Know this, your spell Akaton Evolution has evolved your Chokespore Arachnid into a Mesmer Spider, one of four possible evolutions. Attack, +2. Speed, +5. Special ability, Entrance. The companions stared at it in surprise, including Richter. He hadn't known what to expect, but he wasn't disappointed. This thing was looking crazy cool. He quickly explained his new spell to the other men. They each looked a bit uncomfortable hearing he had so casually bandied about a higher energy spell. They were used to his strange ability to do the unexpected and impossible, though, so they accepted his words without further comment. Richter sent the spider up one of the columns with a mental command. Its sharp legs found easy purchase on the red crystal as it got into position. If a clustered pack of the Tuskers rushed them, the arachnid could launch a surprise attack from above. The spider could bite, but its main attack came from the holes on its back. Each could release fungal spores, which, when inhaled, incapacitated targets for a time. Then it could use the sedating venom in its bite to render its victims unconscious. Between the summoning, the evolution, loading his spell ring, and casting mist lights, Richter had little mana remaining. He could have drunk a mana potion, but he had precious few left.
It would come down to physical combat, he decided, needing to grow those skills anyway. With all of that done, Richter filled Alma in on the plan. She readily agreed, seeing as how it meant she could start attacking immediately. She flew higher and in tight circles around the glowing red crystal, still unseen by the monsters below. Then, she sighted on one of the larger ones near the middle of the herd and cast Weak Lightning Bolt. Her body glowed golden a moment before the spell finished, and then a bolt of yellow lightning streaked away from her draconic snout. It crossed several dozen yards in a blink, and the air magic struck one of the larger boars just behind the shoulders. It let loose an oink of reflexive pain that turned into a squeal of rage. She had been hoping that the stun effect of the lightning spell would kick in, but even with her 50% bonus to air spell strength, the spell was still weak ranked. Some of the smaller sows ran away from the main pack, but most of the tuskers fixed their eyes on Alma and grunted in anger. As mad as they were, there was no way for them to retaliate against the dragonling. Alma didn't help their mood by trumpeting her superiority while she coasted above them. She made sure to pass only a few feet above their heads to add insult to injury. There was still no real danger to the cocky familiar. The tuskers may have been extremely dangerous to landbound creatures, but they sure as hell made terrible jumpers. The monsters reared their heads in a vain attempt to gore the dragonling, but she just laughingly trumpeted again, glorying in her own magnificence once more. She attacked again. Her body glowed yellow a second time, and a circle of shining dust appeared just below her. Some of the roars of anger turned to porcine cries of pain and panic. Glitter dust did very little actual damage at first, but the thousands of shining particles had sharp edges. They found their way into the eyes of several of the vicious pigs who were blinded for a short time. A bare moment later, she cast again. Alma cast Weak Life Bolt, and a beam of golden energy struck another tusker. The spell only caused 8 points of damage, a drop in the bucket considering the plus 10% HP bonus that creatures of the Dungeon of Bloody Chaos enjoyed. Still, it added to the growing pandemonium and caused more of the creatures to scatter. She flew straight up, and in an instant, her speed-enhanced body was lost to the poor eyesight of the Koran tuskers. They didn't have to wait long to see her again. She flipped end over end, and with a flap of her wings, dove down towards the monsters. A cone of pure psychic energy shot forward from her small frame. While one of the tuskers had been able to shake off the stun effect of her air magic, they had no defense to the deeper magic, thought. A dozen dropped at once in response to her psi blast, like marionettes with their strings cut. All the monsters caught in the 20-foot radius of her primary attack began bleeding from the eyes, nose, and mouth. Finally, the third effect of her ability completed the task her master had set her. Four of the tuskers were afflicted with disorient. Two ran amok, and the sharp spikes on their sides made bloody furrows in the others. Another two immediately started attacking the rest. The madness was complete. Alma gave a high-pitched roar of triumph and chanced, raking her claws across the back of one of the fleeing sows. Several long gouges appeared in its flesh, and its pain-filled squeals joined the wondrous racket the rest of the monsters were making. The dragonling's bloodthirsty cry echoed through the cavern. Richter and his companions had been watching the entire attack on his traveler's map. It wasn't exactly cable, but the show was definitely Netflix-worthy. An involuntary smile crept onto his face as he saw Alma absolutely own 20 monsters and make 20 more flee in terror. He even chuckled a bit when she bloodied her claws on the back of the fleeing tusker. A part of him paused to reflect on that while they watched the show. He'd wondered when blood and battle had become something that he not only accepted but craved. Had he been corrupted by the land, or was he just discovering what he always had been? A predator, like his soul familiar. Then a tusker caught sight of his companions, and the time for introspection had passed. The time of blood and battle had come. The creature squealed and began racing towards them. Richter took the time to use Analyze. Name, Koran Tusker. Disposition, angry. Koran Tuskers are pack hunters. The hardened bone that juts out from their bodies has sharp edges and points.
The creatures have poor eyesight, but excellent hearing and senses of smell. Territorial and aggressive, they attack other creatures if they come across their path, but will run from larger monsters. Level 12. Health 309. Mana 22. Stamina 365. Strength 14. Agility 21. Dexterity 22. Constitution 28. Endurance 36. Intelligence 2. Wisdom 2. Charisma 4. Luck 11.
Richter spared a glance for his companions. Tirad hefted his shield and braced himself to meet the animal's charge. Sion began imbuing his arrow, and Randolphus
just continued to lean against one of the pillars, looking bored. As the Tusker ran closer and was joined by two others, the Chaos Seed reflexively tried to make a war party. He cursed his own stupidity when a red prompt appeared.
Dungeons are for adventure, not war. All bonuses from war leader badges and promotions are suspended while in a dungeon or labyrinth.
Richter was still swearing when the battle began. Sion fired his imbued arrow to claim first blood. It streaked across 24 yards in an instant, blue energy and yellow lightning playing around the shot. When it struck, there was a small boom and it detonated against a monster's snout. Blood, meat, and teeth exploded out from the shot, but the creature was not yet undone. It screamed in pain, but also in mindless fury. The Tusker continued to race towards them, but now its face was a macabre horror, missing both nose and lips, but still possessing one foot-long tusk and half of its sharp teeth. The Chaos Seed fired his own arrow. He didn't invest any mana, as his reserves were still low. Even without magic, his moonstone arrow packed a serious punch. Using the new technique Randolphus had taught him, his combat log instantly told him how much damage he'd done.
Begin combat log. Richter strikes Corran Tusker for 270 damage.
Plus 18 recurve bow of the wood sprite. Plus 8 moonstone arrow. Plus 34% for level 17 archery. Plus 76% for 38 points of dexterity. Minus 1 armor. Times 4 critical hit for collapsed lung.
Corran Tusker has a collapsed lung, minus 50% exercise tolerance, minus 15 HP per second. End combat log.
The yellow-white arrowhead sank deep within the body of the charging monster. It stumbled forward another step before collapsing with a wheeze, the fall driving the arrow in even further. Its belly swelled once more with breath before it exhaled for the last time and died. Richter was thrilled to now be able to use his combat log without it being distracting. The info was a bit technical, but it was awesome all the same. A thought was all that was required to adjust his settings to provide less information in the future. It was done before he even knocked another arrow. As he sighted on another monster, there was a broad smile on his face. He loved this shit. His moonstone arrows probably cost several silver each, a fortnight's pay for most workers, but there was no denying the damage they inflicted. The fact that his last arrow had penetrated the tough muscle of the Tusker so deeply was the only reason he had obtained a critical strike. More monsters began charging them, and Richter fired again. The sounds of battle attracted more and more of the Tuskers. All around the cavern, the beasts began to run towards the companions. If Alma hadn't scattered them first, the party might have been overwhelmed. Even with the Tuskers coming one at a time, the herd began to press them. A monster raced around the side of one of the columns and tried to ram Tirad. The captain swung his shield down and to the left, deflecting the charge. The Tusker's momentum carried it forward as the captain jabbed down with his sword. The tip scored deep into the creature's back, but nothing vital was struck. It turned quickly and tried to gore him again, but Tirad had already reset his position, shield held in front of him. Sion helped him by shooting it in one leg. The imbued arrow didn't have much charge, but it was more than enough at short range to pop the sinews of its flesh like cooked spaghetti. It went down with a crash, and Tirad stabbed deep into its side. He half withdrew his sword, but when it started to buck, he shoved his weapon into it again. This time, the blade pierced its heart, and the monster lay still. Sapir transformed once the battle began.
he changed from a sweet 8-inch tall figure with the countenance of a 10-year-old to a dangerous fey creature. The celestial pixies were each born with the ability to shift into a battle form. His features grew much sharper, and the light yellow of his hair deepened to an intense bronze. His wings turned metallic, and the edges grew razor sharp. Even his tiny teeth and nails grew sharp and jagged. He flew around Sion, snarling at the Tuskers. Four of the Tuskers rushed Sion at once. He fired the imbued arrow he had charged on his bowstring for 1 second. The arrow struck a beast in its side. Skin was sheared away, leaving a bloody mess, but with minimal mana invested, not much damage was done. The blow still knocked it off balance, though, and it face-planted, flipping end over end. When it stopped moving, it squealed in pain while blood continued to leak from its body. The sprite fired another arrow. This time he didn't imbue it. Instead, he used his sub-skill Stun Shot. His stamina immediately dropped 30 points, but the arrow stopped the Tusker cold. Its limbs went limp, even as its momentum carried it forward several more feet. Sapir shouted unintelligibly in his high-pitched voice. With his metallic wings fluttering faster than the eye could follow, he extended both arms with his fists clenched together. A beam of yellow air magic shot forward, striking another Tusker in the snout. The monster squealed in anger. It wasn't harmed much, but the pixie's attack afflicted it with stun. The Tusker dropped, leaving it wide open to attack. Sion dove to the side to avoid the other Tusker's charge. His body tucked into a ball like an acrobat with his bow held lengthwise across his body. He rolled twice before popping back to his feet. Within a second, he had knocked another arrow and activated another sub-skill, Double Shot. In the space of another second, two arrows were flying at point-blank range. While the sub-skill drained even more stamina and caused a drop in his accuracy, the enemy was less than 2 yards away. The first arrow struck the top of the creature's back and did minimal damage. The hide and bone were thickest at that point. The second arrow, by an ounce of luck and a pound of skill, sunk into the monster's throat. It went down, hacking up blood by the cup. That left only two monsters on their feet. They attacked, unafraid despite the deaths of the others. Sapir had been drained by using his force blast, but he tried again. This time, the yellow light only flickered around his fists before winking out. The pixie screamed in frustration, but with the careless invincibility of youth, just threw himself at a Tusker. The boar-like creature had been stamping, about to rush Sion, but now it tossed its head wildly. Sapir was scratching at its face and eyes, and the pixie's keen-edged wings were doing even more damage as the Tusker struggled. Sion hated to see his Metu Maidan in danger, but was a hardened warrior. He kept his eye on the prize. The sprite dropped his bow in favor of drawing the Elementum shortsword gifted to him by Richter. He faced the remaining Tusker, circling as he waited for his perfect moment. The Tusker charged. Quick like a darting viper, Sion stepped to the side and swung his fey blade. It sliced through the Tusker's back leg like a cleaver through water. A shard of jutting bone was shattered in the same strike. Blood fountained from the wound, staining the ground. The monster gave a two-human scream as it collapsed, the other three legs scrambling to keep it upright. Sion didn't pause. He stepped past the downed monster and stabbed his blade into the Tusker his Metu Maidan was fighting. Sapir was forgotten by the beast as this worse agony consumed its consciousness. It tried to turn, but Sion kept his blade in its side. Its movement sawed the Elementum weapon into its own organs, and it stopped in pained shock. The sprite quickly removed the blade, slashing right, then left in quick succession. His powerful weapon cut deep into the back of the beast's front leg and the front of the creature's back leg. It crashed to the ground, just like its fellow. In the next 10 seconds, Sion delivered the coup de grace to the two Tuskers he'd disabled and the one he had stunned. Blood fountained into the air, and he was left standing in a circle of his dead. More of the monsters arrived. A pair of Tuskers came from the right, charging directly at Randolphus. Richter sighted on one of the monsters, concerned for the spy, but then Randy disappeared. Even with him watching, the Chamberlain could use stealth with ease. The creatures stalled their charge for a moment, confused by his disappearance.
But then they ignored their confusion and started running at the Chaos Seed. He loosed his bow at one, but the arrow was deflected off a ridge of bone, doing little damage. Richter dropped his bow and drew both short swords to meet their charge. Both monsters died before they had crossed half the distance to him. Randolphus had phased back into sight in midair. He had jumped perpendicular to the first beast's charge and plunged a heavy dagger down just above its shoulder blades. His strike was as powerful and precise as a matador's. It severed the creature's spine, and the tusker fell to the ground, limp as a jellyfish, but still alive. It mewled on the ground, head thrashing slightly, but no motor signals could reach its body. The other creature had time to register the attack on its fellow, but couldn't arrest its own forward momentum. Within seconds of his first strike, Randolphus threw two small daggers. The first hit the tusker in the haunch. Faint lines of electricity radiated out from the wound, but nothing else happened. The second dagger had a much more impressive effect. The 6-inch blade sank into the muscle of its back with a sizzle. A split second later, the burn enchantment triggered. The entire body of the tusker was immolated. Its squealing turned into a high-pitched keening as it lost all reason. It ran off in a random direction, trailing fire into the darkness. Randolphus took off in pursuit, another dagger already in hand. Before he had taken two steps, his body disappeared into stealth again. Richter started to grab his dropped bow, but three tuskers came around one of the columns all at once and barreled down at him. "Little help!" he thought to his familiar. Then he jumped as high as he could. His short swords were powerful, but they weren't much use against a collective ton of charging monster. The tuskers were running close together, so he cleared most of them, but a spur of jagged bone scraped his calf. A muted curse escaped his bared teeth as he started bleeding. You have suffered 11 damage. You are bleeding. You are losing one health every 1 second. The tuskers turned to attack again, but were struck from above. The mesmer spider descended from where it had perched unseen. It dropped onto the back of one of the tuskers, its 8 legs piercing the tusker's sides like a sadistic vice. The spider bit into its victim's neck, and an acidic poison began to spread. The tusker spasmed in pain, several organs pierced as the spider rode it to the ground. Its fellow turned to enact revenge, but the arachnid triggered its special attack. A cone of prismatic light shot from its one long eye and entranced the tusker. The light continued as the spider skittered closer. It bit each tusker once, injecting more venom. The two monsters collapsed, green foam, proof of the poison in their bloodstreams. The spider then almost delicately walked over their bodies, puncturing them again and again with its sharp legs. Now with its prey severely wounded but still alive, the arachnid lowered its head to the puncture wounds and drank in the dissolved slurry of blood, muscle, and viscera that its poison had left behind. Richter sent the spider a mental command to abandon its meal and attack the two tuskers that Tirad was fending off. Blood still dripped down his leg, losing him a point of health every second. It was nothing compared to the over 600 points of life he had at this point, though. Richter removed an herb from his bag and placed it in his mouth. It was slightly bitter, but Forest Sage had healing powers that slowly replenished his health. It could only replenish 10 points over 5 minutes at baseline, but his 40 skill levels in herb lore increased the HPs replenished by plus 120%. He knew his wound would be healed in less than 3 minutes. With his elementum blade in one hand, he cast Soul Trap. A hard, downward stab was all it took to kill the helpless creature. A rainbow of swirling light rose into the air. It spun around Richter's body twice before disappearing into his bag. One of the empty common soul stones contained within began to glow, now filled with a basic soul. He repeated the process twice more, and 2 more souls were captured. A curse caught his attention. Tirad had been knocked over and had his shield over his body like a blanket. It was all that was keeping a tusker from eviscerating him. Even so, one of the bony tusks had pierced the wooden shield and had entered the arm behind it. Every flailing move the monster made to get at Tirad tore the hole in the captain's arm wider. It was to his credit that the man wasn't screaming in sheer agony.
Another beast was already running towards the captain, and there was no way Tirad was going to be able to keep it from savaging his face. Richter roared and threw his short sword. Even as it flew, he started running towards the captain. Randy was still nowhere to be found. Sion was engaged in his own battle, dodging and rolling, even as he shot Tuskers at point-blank range. The arachnid was a bit further away and had triggered its special attack again, downing three more, but it was bleeding Ikor from two large holes in its abdomen. Two of its legs, on one side, were limp. Alma was clawing at another Tusker's eyes. If Tirad was to live, it was up to him. The green-bladed weapon flipped end over end. In a perfect world, it would have sunk deep into the Tusker's body. That's not what happened. This was real life. The edge of the short sword hit both the edge of the shield and the side of the monster at once. The damn weapon was almost vertical when it struck. He had to learn how to throw blades. Off target or not, the Fey metal was impossibly sharp and bit deeply enough into the Tusker to draw blood. Unfortunately, it also bit into Tirad's shield enough to almost cut the man.
"Hey!"
Tirad shouted. He turned his head and looked at Richter incredulously, even as he continued to struggle and bleed.
I know,
Richter half apologized. He closed the final distance to the captain. The Elementum short sword had fallen to the ground. Unfortunately, the damage it had done to the Tusker hadn't distracted it. The creature had just been driven further into a rage and renewed its efforts to kill Tirad. To make matters worse, the second Tusker was now only 5 yards away. Richter drew his moonstone short sword and, without breaking stride, rammed the blade into the Tusker's head. Hardened bone or not, the skull shattered inward. The full 2 feet of yellow-white metal sank into the monster and killed it instantly. He wasn't done, though. His momentum continued to hurtle him over to Rod. One fist pointed at the charging Tusker, and he triggered his ring of spell holding. Invisible waves of sonic force shot out at his target, which was only 2 yards away. The Tusker squealed in pain and faltered but didn't stop, focused on hurting the creature that had hurt it. Richter hadn't expected it to stop, though. He had just needed to buy a second of hesitation. Now properly braced, he held both empty hands out to meet his opponent. Reaching low, he caught both forward tusks and went into pure beast mode.
"Maximum effort!"
he groaned as the Tusker's nearly unstoppable force met his unbreakable will. Both gauntlets wrapped around the large tusks, and he twisted and lifted. Every ounce of his 33 points of strength, more than 3,000 newtons, went into his effort. Though he had not really used brute strength to win his battles in a great while, at level 35, he was more than just human. The Tusker's body rose off the ground, and it gave a surprised grunt. Using his own body as a fulcrum, he swung the creature's body to the side and slammed it against one of the blood-red columns. A bony spine broke off its body, but the stone of the column remained completely whole. All fight went out of the beast, and Richter swung the body again like a sack of potatoes, slamming it into the ground. With both short swords gone, he let go of one tusk and pulled his high steel dagger out. Keeping its head facing up with his other hand, he stabbed his blade into the Tusker's eye. The point caught on the eye socket for a moment, but with a savage grunt, he leaned on the weapon. There was a sickening crunch that he felt first in his hand, then up his arm as the eye socket fragmented. For the second time in a minute, he destroyed the brain of a monster.
"Watch out, my lord!"
came a shout from his right. Richter caught a flicker of movement out of the corner of his eye, but had time for nothing else. Then there was pain. You have suffered 29 damage. A Tusker had run up behind him and pierced his calf with its tusk. It kept rushing forward, knocking him off his feet. Richter screamed as his legs went out from under him and his body flew up in the air. He fell hard. The dagger was still inside the last Tusker's brain, and he had no other weapons on hand. Suddenly, Randy's bajillion knives didn't seem like overkill. There were more weapons in his bag of holding, but extricating items from it took focus and at least a few seconds. Both were a luxury he just didn't have. Tirad was still getting to his feet, and Sion was holding two Tuskers at bay with his short sword. Randolphus was running towards him, but was too far away. The monster Richter was fighting turned immediately and sank its teeth into the same leg it had already gored. His sprite armor was resilient, especially for light armor, but the beast's sharp teeth could still pierce it in places. The armor also did nothing to stop the crushing damage the monster's bite inflicted. You have suffered 43 damage. Tears in his eyes, Richter began trying to summon the clarity of thought needed to cast a spell when the Tusker suddenly dropped. Blood leaked from its eyes, mouth, and nose, and it spasmed. Atop the creature's shoulders was Alma's dark form. The dragonling drained thought energy from the Tusker and siphoned off its health, mana, and stamina at the same time. Tirad walked up, his injured arm cradled to his chest. Knowing that Alma was helpless while she fed, he carefully drove his sword into the beast's neck. Between his attack and Alma's brain drain, the monster succumbed seconds later. A loud boom punctuated another of Sion's imbued shots against the creatures. His latest target stumbled away, a large chunk missing from its side. The close-range detonation had made a tennis ball-sized hole in it. Splinters of ribs, mangled flesh, and strips of skin with charred hair hung around the hole. Blood flowed freely from the wound. One large artery must have been severed because a gout of blood shot forward from the back of the crater. The spurts were angled inward somewhat because the jets of blood hit the edge of the pit Sion's arrow had made. Every beat of the Tusker's weakening heart added to the splattered mess. It still stumbled toward Sion, unaware that its death was already assured. Before it could take another step, Randolphus phased into existence behind it and plunged his large dagger into the wound. He scored a critical hit. Multiplied by his sneak attack and its already weakened state, the Tusker gave up the ghost. There were no monsters left, and the only sound Richter could hear was his own breath exiting his open mouth. Richter cast Minor Slow Heal. That almost bottomed out his mana, but it was worth the small headache. The two hits he'd suffered had taken more than 100 health, and he'd picked up a bleeding status. There was no true danger to his life, but it didn't stop him from feeling a shit ton of pain. The life spell helped ease that almost immediately. Alma had detached from her victim, and her body was now enveloped in a golden glow. From the slight angle that now existed in the middle of Tirad's right forearm, it was clear that either the ulna or radius, or most likely both, had been broken. Luckily, no bones were sticking out past the skin, so it looked like a simple fracture. Alma made eye contact with the captain, established a mental connection, and sent one word across it.
Straighten.
One-word communication was all she could manage with those she didn't share a psi-bond with. Gritting his teeth, Tirad grabbed his right hand with his left. The man showed what a badass he was by pulling to realign his own bones. A muffled scream escaped his clenched lips, and his eyes watered, but he remained upright. Alma cast Weak Mend Bone and followed it immediately after with Minor Slow Heal. The pain in Tirad's face began to ease as soon as the bones straightened and the repair began. It was almost a relief as he applied a faint upward pressure on his right hand, further helping the bones align. It took a few seconds, but when it was done, he smiled affectionately at the dragonling.
Thank you, Alma, he expressed sincerely.
He carefully rolled his wrist and found it to be hale. Then he hefted his damaged shield and sword, peering into the surrounding gloom just in case they had missed enemies. Alma purred in contentment.
Don't praise her!
Richter shouted, having gotten back onto his feet. He tested his newly healed leg and found it a touch stiff but completely usable. The tight feeling wasn't unexpected after a fresh healing.
Where the hell were you?
He demanded of the dragonling hovering in midair.
I was killing the Tuskers I disabled, she responded archly. I did not think that my powerful master would have such a problem with a few little piggies.
She sent him a mental replay. After the others had scurried off, she had hopped from one downed Tusker to the next. The dragonling knew her stun blast would only last seconds, so she had capitalized on the creature's helplessness.
With her sharp claws, she had opened a small but deep incision in each of their necks. The first one she had had to attack 3 times before she found the carotid. She had started too far to the side, not knowing the carotid was more central on their fat necks. After that, though, she was able to fatally wound 2 more before the creatures began to stir. Alma still managed to hop to a 4th tusker and blind it as it was struggling to regain its footing. Her first few victims didn't even make it back to their feet, too weak as they bled out. The 4th ran off in a random direction, squealing in pain and fear. It ran for a minute before barreling head-on into a column. When it fell to the ground, dazed, she opened its neck with her claws. Then she flew back to help Richter and his companions. Her master looked more closely at her and saw that her dusky scales were actually drenched in the tusker's dark red blood. In the weak light, he hadn't initially been able to tell.
"Well,"
Richter started, still pissed because of the pain that was still fading.
"Don't go off playing on your own next time."
He knew that she had done great, but he wasn't going to let logic interrupt his bad mood. Somehow, Alma managed to make her mental voice shrill with static as she expressed her opinion of his displeasure. He rolled his eyes and did his best to ignore her as Sion and Randolphus walked up.
"Any problems?" Richter asked.
Sion smiled ruefully.
"I was knocked around a bit, but I'm fine. Your spider has seen better days, though."
He threw a thumb out, pointing behind his back. Richter leaned to the side and saw that the spider had been crushed under the body of a tusker. 2 more of the dungeon beasts lay dead beside the corpse of his summoned creature. He looked at it in appreciation. The spider had fought well. He dismissed it. Whether that actually mattered now that it was dead, he didn't know, but he figured it still deserved to be returned home. A green disc appeared, and the spider's mangled body disappeared. The disc vanished right after, leaving no evidence of the arachnid except its victims. Randolphus simply nodded that he was fine and looked around, seemingly unconcerned. The spy's calm face looked like they had been discussing ledgers in his office rather than fighting a pitched battle.
"Did we get all of them?" Richter asked.
"I believe so, my lord," Randolphus responded. "There were 36 tuskers originally. I slew 11 of the beasts."
"I killed 7, Sion chimed in.
Sapir chimed in with pixie speak, proud of his contribution to the battle.
"I got 4, Tarab threw in.
Richter did a quick count. There was the 1 he had killed with his moonstone arrow, and the 3 he had coup de grâce after the spider had attacked. He had killed the 1 on Tarad, and then there was the 1 he had swung into the column. A pretty righteous slay, in his opinion. He had been focusing his stat points more around magic, but there was something completely man about just hitting something real hard. That made 6.
6? 1 less than Sion.
How many did you kill altogether, my love? Richter thought to Alma sweetly. She turned her sinuous head to look at him suspiciously from where she was flapping in midair. Something was behind his change in tone, but she didn't know what.
5, master, including the one I saved you from.
Saved might be a strong word, Richter thought to her, but thank you, love. Now that he knew her count, he added it to his own and threw in the 3 the arachnid had taken down for good measure.
I got 14, he proclaimed smugly.
Those were mine,
Alma blasted at him. She flapped her wings at him in agitation, trumpeting her displeasure.
What's wrong with her? Sion asked.
Nothing,
Richter said, swatting Alma away. She easily dodged his arm and took a nip at him in response. He snatched his hand back, glaring daggers at his feisty familiar.
She does seem quite agitated, my lord,
Randolphus commented. Tarad nodded, brow furrowed as he watched the dragonling. Alma flew towards Sion quickly. The sprite took a half step back in alarm, but stopped in surprise as she sent him a 1-word psychic message. Then, a pure shit-eating grin bloomed on his face as he looked at Richter.
What did she say?
Richter asked too loudly and already a touch defensively. His gaze darted back and forth between his best friend and his familiar. Sion grandly drew in a breath before cocking his arms back like he was about to pitch the opening ball of the World Series. He threw his left hand forward and pointed his forefinger at Richter, proclaiming loudly,
Thief! What? No!
Richter protested immediately,
She sent me one word, Sion said, immensely enjoying himself. Thief! Now are you, Sion stated, pausing for dramatic effect, or are you not taking credit for her kills?
She's my familiar, Richter protested. Her kills are my kills.
Alma hissed at him.
It appears she does not agree, my lord,
Randolphus chimed in. His tone was completely respectful, but there was a smarmy twinkle in his eyes. On second thought, Richter wasn't so sure that he liked this new side of his chamberlain.
Wait, wait, wait,
Sion said, closing his eyes and waving his hands. He was staring right at Richter when he reopened them.
How many did you kill by yourself? I don't see the point in it, Richter began, but his best friend cut him off. How many? Sion asked again loudly.
Nine, he responded. Okay, are you happy now? Nine.
That is a very respectable amount, my lord,
Tirad stated in a conciliatory tone.
And you saved me. There was no need to pad your numbers.
I wasn't padding my numbers, Richter spat. She is my familiar, so her kills should count as mine.
There is a precedent for this, Randolphus interjected. Some of the nobles I used to adventure with in Eve had strong pets. They counted the kills of their creatures as their own.
See?
Richter said to Sion, gesturing at Randy in validation. Those were usually the female adventurers, however, the Chamberlain added. Richter looked at him sharply again.
Did this sumbitch just say he was hitting from the ladies' tees?
Randy's tone was as respectful as ever, but that damn twinkle was in the man's eye. Tirad muffled a laugh.
All right, you got nine. I'll stop teasing, Sion said, taking mercy.
Then he looked sharply at Alma as she sent another message.
Spider?
He said in confusion. Then his eyes widened in understanding and delight. All thoughts of clemency fled before the chance to mock his friend anew.
You included your summoned creature's kills, too?
Richter opened his mouth to respond, but Sion held up a hand. He looked around and saw the three Tuskers the Arachnid had definitely killed and then said,
Six? Which means you got less than me!
It was my summoned creature, Richter said with some real heat in his voice now.
He felt like he had a completely valid point.
Oh, yeah,
Sion told him in an annoyingly sympathetic voice.
Sure.
He accompanied the admission with a pursing of his lips in a small moo, closing his eyes and nodding placatingly.
You look like an asshole, Richter snapped.
Then he stopped for a moment and realized that pursed lips actually did look like an asshole. Was that where the phrase came from? He could almost see a gold star trailing a rainbow with the words, "The more you know," shooting across his brain.
Whatever, Sion said with a broad grin. I keep telling you to stop trying to measure up. I am a sprite. You are a human.
He hitched up his belt.
Nothing wrong with you falling short. It's a bloodline thing.
Alma flew into the air with a toot of triumph over the trouble she had started. Richter glared at her retreating form. As he prepared to deliver a scathing reply to Sion, Randolphus interrupted.
I believe you should see this, my lord.
He was staring at the ground near one of the Tuskers. Richter cast a last dirty look at his former best friend, then walked over to the carcass. He immediately saw what Randolphus had wanted him to see. The blood was flowing out of the body and into the ground. That was not overly surprising, seeing as the creature had been stabbed to death, but the blood should have stopped actively flowing once the heart stopped. What they were seeing was like the blood was being siphoned from the corpse. Once it hit the grass, it disappeared as the ground drank it. He looked at the nearby corpses and saw that the same thing was happening. The Chaos Seed looked at his chamberlain. Does this normally happen in a dungeon? Randolphus slowly shook his head.
No, my lord. At least I have never before seen it happen. Dungeon creatures are reabsorbed over time, but I have never seen it occur so fast, and never just the blood. I imagine it has to do with the motivation you told us about. Bloodright.
They were all quiet as they observed the phenomenon. Richter looked around at his companions.
Just so I'm sure we're all on the same page, my dungeon is a vampire, right?
Chapter 26, Day 142, Kuborn 32, 0 AOC.
Vampire might be too strong a word,
Randolphus responded hesitantly. He didn't seem too sure, more like he was just sure he didn't want to be standing inside a living dungeon that wanted to drink his blood.
Seems like a good description to me,
Sion spouted, still staring at the Tusker's body. All the blood had been drained out, leaving the eyes leaden, and the insides of its lips a pale white. Not a speck was left on the ground that had hungrily drank the fluid. To make things even more creepy, the grass was growing. The turf had been churned up by the fight, but wherever the blood had been absorbed, the furrows were disappearing under new grass. From where the sprite was standing, it was clear that the dungeon fed on the blood to fuel its own regeneration.
Like Randy said, we already know that one of the dungeon's motivations is to get rare types of blood,
Richter said to diffuse the unsettling feeling they were all sharing.
Hell, it's called the Dungeon of Bloody Chaos. It's not too surprising that it might have a penchant for blood.
A penchant for blood?
Sion asked with an incredulous expression on his face. When he said it again, his voice was even louder.
A penchant for blood? Are you fucking serious? The earth we are standing on just drank almost 40 Tuskers dry, and it's happy about it.
Sion kicked a tuft of grass that was visibly growing taller and greener before their eyes.
We all knew this place was going to be dangerous, Richter replied.
For some irrational reason, the sprite kicking the grass was pissing him off. They might be in a sanguophilic dungeon, but that was no reason for Sion to fuck with his yard.
So far all it's done is drink the blood from its own monsters and fix the grass. What's so wrong with that?
Not just the monster's blood, my lord,
Tirad stated.
That is where I fell, he stated, pointing. And that is where you fell,
he said, pointing again. The grass was rather green in both of those spots, Richter realized. When he walked closer, there was no sign of blood. The dungeon master started nodding to himself.
Okay, that was a bit creepy.
He figured there was nothing for it, though.
Point taken. This is some weird stuff. But what does it change? I'm going to keep coming in here. Are you? I won't ever force any of you to come ever again if you don't want to.
Sion smiled, but this time with genuine friendship.
I was just, what is the expression? Busting your balls, brother. You know we are with you.
Richter gave a short laugh.
All right, let's see what else we can find.
He summoned a mist worker and was about to order it to take some of the Tuskers back to the surface when Tirad spoke up.
I would like to make one request, my lord.
Yeah, man, whatever you need.
Tirad hefted his shield. The durability had dropped by more than half, and it was easy to see why. The Tusker had left large holes in it, but what the captain was pointing to was the large wedge Richter's elementum sword had made in the side.
I said I was sorry about that, Richter protested.
He was more embarrassed than apologetic, but still, he had apologized.
Which is most appreciated, my lord,
Tirad stated somewhat delicately.
I just thought that your chamberlain might give you some instruction. He seems quite adept at throwing small blades.
I would, of course, be happy to help, Lord Richter,
the chamberlain supplied.
I saw your throw during the battle. I had planned on making this part of your instruction in any event.
Richter's face adopted a slightly sour look, but there was no denying that his crappy throw could have taken off a few of Tirad's fingers. He sighed.
That's a good idea. What do I have to do?
Tirad and I are going to do some recon around the chamber while you learn, Sion told him.
The sprite had no intention of being around his companion while Richter learned to throw blades. He might not even want to be around after the man learned.
That is a great idea,
the captain quickly agreed. The two of them tuttled off to inspect the cavern. Richter chuckled slightly, not blaming them, then turned his attention towards Randolphus. The first thing the chamberlain did was to teach Richter the proper grip. He made it clear that while a blade should be held solidly against his palm while swinging, a light touch was required for throwing. Richter's short swords were obviously not ideally suited, but they could still work. Even more importantly, after several throws and with Randolphus correcting his technique, a prompt appeared in the Chaos Seed's vision. You have learned the sub-skill Blade Throwing.
No longer is the length of your blade the range of your damage. Let loose the steel bird and hear the bloody song it makes. Blade throwing is a sub-skill of small blades. +2% accuracy of thrown blades. +2% speed of thrown blades. It felt good to get a new skill, even if it was a sub-skill. Richter nodded to Randolphus and told him about the new development. Very good.